Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be. Welcome to Balance Point. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord, gathered with God's people, learning God's word. And we welcome you here. If this is your first time here at Balance Point, just kick your feet up and be friends. We don't bite. If you're a regular viewer of the Balance Point Bible Studies, welcome back. Today you might notice that we have a little bit better video quality. That's because I upgraded our camera a little bit. We're still working on some of the bugs, and we ask your patience with that. We do want to ask you to do this one thing. If you're watching this on YouTube, could you give us a like, and could you please comment on the video? It helps so much in getting videos out to those who desire to dig deeper into God's word. If you're watching on Facebook, could you please like the video and share the video with your friends? Again, it helps to get these messages out to the people so that they might go deeper into God's word. Today we are finally finishing chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke. This is part 6, and it took us a little while because we had a few little life, detours. We'll just put it that way. But we are back in the swing, and we are back into teaching God's word. So let us bow our hearts in prayer and invite God's presence to our study. Father God, it is good to be in your presence. It is good to have this opportunity to study your word. Now, Father God, by your Holy Spirit, enlighten our hearts that we might understand what you would have for us to understand. Father God, strengthen our hands that we might apply the lessons that we're going to learn here today. And Father God, enlarge our hearts that we might be able to pour out unto those around us the love of Christ. We thank you, Father God, for this time in your word. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen. The title of today's message is actually a little bit longer than we could get into our title card. But the title of today's message is How We Treat Unbelievers and the cost of discipleship. How we treat unbelievers and the cost of discipleship. As we finish up chapter 9 of Luke, we're looking at several occurrences as Jesus is beginning to make his way to Jerusalem for the final time. So turn with me to Luke chapter 9, and we will be starting in verse 51. That is Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And if you are there, give me a hearty amen. Luke 9, beginning at verse 51, and we're going to have it up on the screen for you. Whoopsie. I did it again. Lord help us. Lord help us. Oops, I've got one more verse. I'm sorry about that. Wow. It went from 0 to 100 really fast in this passage. So what's going on here? Here we see Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. This is going to be the final time that he goes to Jerusalem. And he chose to pass through Samaria. Now, in the time of Jesus, Israel had been broken up. You had Judea in the south and the Galilee in the north. And when a Jew was going to go from Galilee to Jerusalem, they would not go through Samaria. Because you see, the Jews and the Samaritans, they had a beef. You see, the Jews did not consider the Samaritans to be fully observant of all of the rules and the regulations of the Pharisees, because they weren't. You see, the Samaritans, the Samaritan people were a mixed people. There were some Jewish people, some Israelites, and then there were the peoples that had been planted there by the Assyrians after the Assyrians had conquered them. And what had happened was a series of disasters, a series of plagues and famines and bad things that happened. And the Assyrians figured that, you know, maybe the reason that all these bad things are happening is because the God of this land is not being served properly. And so the Assyrians found Levites among the people that they had scattered, and they sent them back to that portion, the northern kingdom, Israel, in order to reestablish worship. Now, when they went back, of course, the Jews down in Jerusalem weren't having that, because they had been beefing the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin and the northern 10 tribes. They had been beefing for a couple of hundred years now. And so the Jews were not willing to accept these returning Israelites as true Israelites. Plus, by this time, the Jews had changed how they trace lineage. And so there was a conflict between the way the Samaritans traced lineage, which was through the father, and the Jewish people traced lineage, which was through the mother. And so there was this beef. There was also a beef based on where one should worship. The Jews said that one should only worship at the Temple Mount, on Mount Zion. The Samaritans said, no, we should worship on Mount Gerizim. And so because of this, there was an animosity. That's why when we study the parable of the Good Samaritan, there would have been shock to his Jewish listeners. Because in some ways, to the Jewish people, the Samaritans were half-Jews, which actually made them worse in some ways than the Gentiles in the surrounding area. And so it would be unusual for a Jew, and particularly a Jewish rabbi, as Jesus was recognized as, to pass through the Samaritan territory on the way to Jerusalem. And this is the last time he's going to pass through. And so this is going to be near the time of the Passover. Now, it wouldn't have been unusual for Jesus to do that, because Jesus already had followers in Samaria. And these followers came from his encounter with the woman at the well, which is recorded in the Gospel of John. So there were Samaritan followers of Jesus. Jesus wanted to pass through and visit the villages in Samaria where he had followers. But because he had set his face to go to Jerusalem, this caused the Samaritan animosity towards the Jewish people to rise up. And so they rejected the fact that Jesus was passing through. Now, why would Jesus even announce he's passing through? Well, consider this. Jesus, even though he had been having some run-ins with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians, he was popular among the people. And so Jesus had an entourage. He had a crew, and they were rolling deep into Samaria. And so Jesus, not wanting to put strain on the communities that he was going to be passing through, sent messengers ahead. But apparently not all the villages were willing to receive him. And so when word got back to Jesus, James and John, they were like, yeah, master, you want us to call fire down like Elijah did. You see, their spirit was a spirit of, if you're not with us, you're going down. And we saw that earlier in the chapter when a report came of a person casting out demons in the name of Jesus, but this person wasn't a part of the main crew, or he wasn't a part of the crew. And again, Jesus' disciples were, we forbade him to do that. And Jesus was like, yo, guys, anybody that's not against us is for us. Anybody that's not against us is with us. And this is something similar that's going on with these Samaritan villages. They are rejecting Jesus coming through. And Jesus is like, and the disciples are, hey, do you want us to call down judgment? And Jesus replies with grace. You see, the first coming of Christ was not about judgment. The first coming of Christ was about bringing reconciliation between God and man. The first coming of Christ was all about the love of God and how much God loves each and every one of us and desires a relationship with us. It wasn't about pronouncing judgment. And so it brings me to the question, how do we treat those around us who are not Christ followers? Do we go around condemning? Do we go around pronouncing woe, pronouncing judgment? Or do we approach them with love and grace? Do we give them the space to see their need? Think about this. Is it really Christ they're rejecting, or is it the way we portrayed Christ? You see, the approach that Jesus used was an approach to present the truth of God in love. He presented God's truth in love. And what does that mean? That means that he didn't sugarcoat the truth. But he also did not come with an air of condemnation. He did not come saying, y'all gonna rot in hell. Y'all gonna experience hellfire. No. Jesus came with respect, with truth, and with love. In fact, the only time we see Jesus presenting his harshest comments, and those harshest comments were reserved for those who thought themselves to be holy and close to God. Jesus railed against those who kept rigid rules and yet held no love or compassion for any who were outside of that close circle of those who kept rules. To the sinner, Jesus became a friend. to the hurting, Jesus became a healer. To the outcast, Jesus became family. And so is it any surprise that Jesus will reply to them, reply to the disciples who wanted to call fire down from the sky? You do not know what spirit you are. You see, we haven't come to Jesus' second coming. Now, yes, at the second coming of Christ, there will be a time when God will judge those who reject Jesus, those who reject God. That time is coming. But until that time comes, we are living in the age of grace. We are living in the age of compassion. And so when we see somebody whose lifestyle is different than ours, what is our response? Do we shun them? Do we browbeat them? Do we hate on them? I mean, there are whole churches, and I don't even want to mention names, but we know who they are. That is their approach to those who are outside of their small little tiny circle. But that's not Jesus' approach. And that shouldn't be our approach. No, our approach should be an approach based on love and based on grace, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes. Now moving on to the second part of today's message. These are just short little interactions that Jesus had that we can take away truths from, and we can take away little nuggets that we can apply to our lives and our walks with Christ. So let's begin with the first. So somebody wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus replies, hey, I don't even have a home. I'm wandering. I'm a vagabond on this earth. Why would he say that? I believe that he was saying that in order to get this person to count the cost, to consider what it would mean to follow Jesus. Because you see, here's the thing. If you are a friend of God, you're an enemy of the world. And the world is going to treat you as such. And at that time, and in fact, this is still true today, there are places on the earth right now where to be a Christ follower means you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your home, you might even lose your life, you'll lose your livelihood. And that is a high price to pay. We here in the U.S., and to a lesser extent in Europe, we don't have to face that. But there are brothers and sisters in various countries around the world where to proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior may be a death sentence. And so Jesus is saying to this person, consider the cost. Consider how I am. And that even brings to mind an earlier teaching where Jesus stated that, hey, you know what? The student is not going to be above the master. The student is not going to be above the master. And whatever they do to the master, they're going to do to the student. Think about that. Whatever they did to the master, they're going to do to the student. And so what is the cost? Count the cost. Consider, before you're ready to make that vow to God that, hey, I'm going to go and do this and that and the other thing, I'm going to be the greatest thing since buttered bread, what's the cost? What is the cost of following Jesus? Now, this was a person that ran up to Jesus and said, hey, I want to follow you. Let's take a look at another one. Verse 15. I have a feeling that I am losing audio when I do that. Verse 59. We'll do it this way. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Okay, I got to stop here first. Jesus called him and said, follow me. And the first word out of this guy's mouth is Lord. You know what Lord means? Lord means boss. So Jesus says, follow me. And he says, boss, let me first go bury my father. It's like, I'm going to follow you, but I want to bury my father. And there's some question about this. What was he mean by bury his father? Was his father already dead? Now, if his father was already dead, that would be a little unusual because the burial customs in the first century was get him buried fast. Because within a couple of days, surely they will stink. And so the custom was, you buried them quickly. If you could, you buried them the same day. But you buried them fast. Which kind of leads me to suspect that what the guy was saying was, Lord, I'll follow you, but I need to make sure my father's dead so I can move on and get the inheritance. And watch what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the spiritually dead, let those who are not alive to the kingdom, let them take care of it. You know, in another place, Jesus says, if you love mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of the kingdom. Wow, that's pretty intense when you think about that. But here's the thing. What is more important? What happens here on this earth in the, if you're lucky, 80 or 90 years you get, if you're not so lucky, 50 or 60 years, what's more important? 50 or 60 years here, or what happens when we step outside of time? Either through being taken to heaven by God or through death. What's more important? And that's the question for us. What's more important? The most important thing is to love God and love our neighbors. And love our neighbors enough to tell them about the kingdom of God. That's what's most important. And then our last one that we're going to look at. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first and go bid them farewell who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, so you can't even go back. I believe that there's some bits that we're not informed of. That maybe Jesus saw something in his heart that I want to follow you, but you know what? I gotta go back home. I'm kind of reminded of when Elijah called Elisha in the Old Testament. And Elisha said, hey, let me say goodbye to everybody. Now, Elisha did end up following Elijah and becoming a great prophet in his own right. So, I don't think it was the issue of, you know, going back and saying goodbye. I think the issue was they weren't ready to let go. And so the question is when Jesus calls us to leave something, he calls us not just to leave something behind, but to leave to go to. The life of the Christ follower is a life of constant leaving to go. Leaving to go. Leaving to go. And so, my question for me is, am I willing to leave to go? Am I willing to set aside those things for the greater cause of the kingdom? And that's what this is all about. It's all about the greater cause of the kingdom. And are we willing to do those things? Because if we're not willing, then basically we're just fakers. We're like the ones who at the end times are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach the gospel in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? And he's going to say, I didn't know you. I don't know what you're about. It would be a sad thing to spend our lives spinning our wheels, thinking that we're serving God when in reality, we weren't. What a sad place to be. So what does it cost to follow Jesus? It costs everything. It costs our willingness to condemn people. It costs our willingness to walk away from everything. It costs everything. And yet it costs nothing. That's the crazy thing. Because you see, everything that we need to be a Christ follower is given to us. God gives us faith. The question is, what are we going to put our faith in? God gives us wisdom. The question is, how are we going to use it? God gives us hope. The question is, what are we going to hope in? God gives us compassion. The question is, are we going to be compassionate to those who are not like us? Or even worse, are we going to be compassionate to those who do not like us? That's the question. This is a question that we must ask each and every day. And I pray that my answer is, yes, I will follow you wherever you go. I pray that my answer will be, yes, I will love that person who is not like me, who is not a part of my in-group. I pray that that's my answer. I pray that's the answer that you would have too. Speaking of being in the in-group, if you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you once walked with them, but you've walked away, I want to extend the invitation to either come into the kingdom of God or to come back to the kingdom of God. Because, you know, God loves you. God cares for you. God desires a relationship with you. That was the whole point of Jesus coming to the earth. That was it. And so all you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and accept the free gift that God gave you through the death, burial, and resurrection of him. And if you believe in your heart and you will confess that with your mouth, God says, you shall be saved. You shall receive. And if that's you, I'd like to pray with you right now. And just pray this prayer in the silence of your own heart. Father God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Father, I've been wrong about how I live my life. And I confess that I've not lived for you, by you, and through you. I ask, Father God, right now, that you would come and forgive me. And that you would give me the promise of the Holy Spirit to reside in me and to guide me. And Father God, I know that I will fumble, I will fall. But I trust, Father God, that you will pick me up and you will receive me. Thank you, Father God, for doing this for me, for being God and Father, for being Savior. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you have prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. And you can reach us and you can just send us an email, staff@balance-point.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to come into agreement with you about what God is doing in your life right now. You can message us at our Facebook page at BalancePointCC on Facebook. Just search Balance Point Christian Community, Balance Point Church. You will find us. You can message us on our page, on our YouTube community page at Balance Point Church. So we are at www.youtube.com/user/BalancePointChurch, all one word. We invite you to come and visit our community center. And this is the point where I need to tell you that we are in the process of migrating to a new URL for the Balance Point Christian Communities. And so we have a new URL, and right now they are redirecting back and forth. So if you look in your menu bar, you might see balance-point.org, or you'll see the new URL. But come visit our community center at www.balancepointla, all one word, no punctuation anymore, .org. That is www.balancepointla.org. We look forward to seeing you. We look forward to hearing you, from you. We have a community of over 16,000 members now. We would love to have you come, join in, begin to comment, begin to express the love that God has shown to you. And then take what you learn from these messages and go out and share the love of Christ. Let me check really quickly. We're going to skip that announcement. If you have prayer needs, you can send them to prayer@balance-point.org. Soon that will change over to the Balance Point LA website. We just haven't gotten all those email addresses set up. So we're in the transition period. Probably for the next year, we'll have both URLs running. But we do look forward to hearing from you. Whether you go to the bounce-point.org or the bouncepointla.org. So prayer, we love to pray. We're a praying community. You can contact us for general information at staff at balance-point.org, soon to be staff at bouncepointla.org. It has been so good to be with you here in our virtual gathering here. Hopefully in the near future we'll be doing some of this live via Zoom. But in the meantime, we just pray that these lessons have been a use to you and have been a blessing to you. And so as we close, receive the blessing. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may he show himself to be kind and compassionate to you. May he lift you up and set you upon the rock of his word. And may he fill you with his life, his joy, and his peace. From this day forward, amen and amen. Shalom, shalom, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.